Member for Chaffey, Tim Whetstone's here. Good morning.
Morning, Anthony.
Who's your favourite Beatle?
Ringo.
Everyone goes to Ringo. He's just such a character.
Hey? Paul's a bit stuffy for my liking.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And John was right. John's mine, Mr. Round Glasses.
He was good. Sadly, taken too soon.
We're not here to talk about the Beatles. We're here to talk about what's going on in the electorate of Chaffey. You've just come back from Adelaide this morning, hit the ground running. A couple of topics we need to discuss. Firstly, I just wanted to touch on the Varroa mite, because this is something you'd be well across with one of your former portfolios and being in touch with constituents around the Riverland and Mallee. How are they feeling coming up to pollination? Because it's sort of only 4 to 6 weeks away. Is there some concerns there?
Oh, there certainly is. They're, you know, very nervous, particularly the almond industry that rely on pollination services. Varroa mite detected in Newcastle, and they continue to find more hives with that presence. So it is an issue, and we are going to have to be very, very mindful because a lot of our bees come from the eastern seaboard for pollination reasons. And it's not just almonds. You know, the whole region relies on pollination. Bees are part of it. And, you know, we get that Varroa mite into any of our hives here or into the system, we're in big trouble.
Especially when we're battling the fruit fly issue at the moment. This is the last thing we need.
Yeah, look, biosecurity threat has always been there. But sadly, it's being realised at the moment. You know, 12 outbreaks of Queensland fruit fly. We've got Varroa mite, you know, not on our doorstep, but, you know, just up the road, I guess you could say. And so we have to be just as vigilant with any of the threats of biosecurity to our region. And Varroa mite is one of them. Fruit fly is another. And we've just got to make sure that we're proactive and we continue to do what we can to keep those pests and diseases out of our region.
Now, pulling trees out of backyards. This has been up and down. There's been a story that's been going on. Where are you sitting with that?
Well, look, I have been quite outspoken about it. And it's not about one size fits all. It's not about everyone having their backyard trees removed. But there are different, I guess, pathways to being part of eradicating fruit fly. And those backyard tree owners that don't look after their trees, or they are repeat offenders, even backyard trees on commercial properties, you know, they have to actually maintain them, look after them, pick up fruit. And if they don't, well, potentially they need to look at surrendering those trees to being a part of the solution rather than being a part of the problem.
Now, this comes back to the bees in a way as well, because the guys going around spraying, apparently that and the baits can knock the bees around as well.
Yeah, certainly. There is a certain, I guess, area of confiscation when it comes to bees. And, you know, we have to be also mindful that those biosecurity officers are aware that if they can't apply organic bait anywhere near hives or anywhere near bee populations, particularly when we've now, as you said, got upcoming pollination season for almonds, and then after almonds, you know, we start looking at citrus and then stone fruit and all the other horticulture commodities that rely on bees. And so there has to be a very very cohesive understanding of what the impacts of not only bait application for fruit fly, what it means to bees and their pollination services.
Now, budget estimates have been handed down. We've been promised a fair bit of money from your mob before it all went down a couple of months ago. Is that money still coming?
Look, some of it is. Some of it's ongoing expenditure. I'm very happy to see the ongoing road and safety upgrades, the Sturt Highway upgrade, which people are probably experiencing at the moment with the roundabouts at the old and new Sturt Highway. We're looking at another 4 overtaking lanes, more parking bays. We've already seen the guard railing, we've seen shoulder sealing, and we have seen some bridge upgrades. We'll also see the ongoing, feasibility of the Truro Bypass, which is a $202 million project, which is, you know, that's good for our logistics, and it's good for road safety and, you know, keeping our trucks efficient or their destination to the north of Adelaide. And, of course, we'll continue to keep the pressure on the government to making sure that we are relevant when they are expendituring. But we didn't see a lot of money for the Riverland or the Mallee when it came to this most recent budget, which is very disappointing. $2.1 million for a River Murray commissioner that I don't think will achieve any water, but it is something that we need to actually work on, that turn a negative into a positive.
Well, you'll keep him honest. Don't you worry about that. Now, the Cobdobbleslie Museum, the withdrawing of funding there, what are we doing about that? Can we get some money from somewhere for them?
Look, I'm going out to meet with the volunteer group this morning. It is a blow that the state government have reneged on an agreement that was developed a long time ago under the Jubilee scheme. And through the course of time, that $70,000 a year is there not only for the insurance, but a little bit of maintenance and ongoing expenditure. The state government have decided to use a pretty lame excuse of an issue that happened back in 2012, where we had an issue with the running of the Humphrey pump, and they've used that as the reason to defund the Steam Museum. And so we're going to meet this morning and look at ways that we can approach the government to have that funding recommitted and keep that part of our heritage, a part of, you know, the museum with irrigation, steam. It is a great iconic venue to visit, and the viability of the museum is on the line if they don't receive that $70,000 funding.
It's not a real lot of money, Tim.
No, it's not. And there were a lot of questions raised at budget estimates, and as a previous government, contrary to some people's letters to the paper and et cetera, we did put a lot of money into the Steam Museum, rehabilitation of the tar pit, which is on hold at the moment, buildings, ventilation, gas detection, all the rest of it has been ongoing to keep the viability of the Steam Museum. But sadly, this Labor government has pulled the rug on us, and we've just got to work a way that we can actually gain their confidence and have that funding reinstated.
To take money away from any tourist attraction, it just doesn't make any sense.
No, look, it's not just a tourist attraction. It's part of our history. This region is built on irrigation and the use of steam, steam vehicles and steam propulsion. And over time, we've cherished that history and the viability of keeping the doors and the lights on at the Cobby Museum is in question at the moment.
All right. Well, looking forward to hear some positive news on all those topics that we've spoken about this morning. Thanks for coming in. Good to catch up with you, and we'll do it again soon.
Hope so.